Men, do you ever feel like you just can't get ahead? Like you're misunderstood? Like you have no one to talk to that truly hears you?
And women, are you often frustrated, hurt, and saddened in your relationships with the men in your life?
What if there were a community of like-minded men going through the same challenges that would support, hear, and understand what you're going through?
Working together in unison to create understanding, intimacy, and strong connections. That's the Way of the Illuminated Warrior.
Way of the Illuminated Warrior Talk Show is a forum of candid conversations for men and women about men. Heard every Thursday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Being a man today is not always easy. Until now.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Way of the Illuminated Warrior Talk Show. My heart is very happy to have my friend and previous co-host, Beth Perogic, back in the house. Welcome back, Beth.
Thank you for having me, Waska. It is in my heart, too, as well. I was excited when I woke up this morning and realized I was going to spend some time with you, so I'm happy to be here.
Excellent. Yes, so if anybody that has checked into our show before, Beth and I have done several shows in the past, and Beth has been, I'll say, on hiatus, and I coaxed her to come back and join us because we've had some really wonderful shows in the past, and I miss you, my friend. So
I miss you too, but I think you twisted my rubber arm. It was pretty easy for me to come back, to be honest with you, but we'll chat about that.
Excellent. Well, we're kind of going free flow. Not that we don't go free flow anyway, but without a topic today, I thought it would be really good for you to share what's been going on for you, because I don't want to say dark night of the soul, but that was my impression. Could be totally wrong, but I'm going to leave it up to you to share whatever has been happening for you. And as always, I believe it'll be helpful for the audience, whatever insights have come. So if you'd like to take it away, my friend, please go for it.
Thank you, Oscar. And please interrupt if you have any questions, because it's not quite the story. It's not like anything earth-shattering happened. But you're 100% right by saying it was a hiatus and a dark night of the soul. I've experienced them before. This one was particularly challenging for me, and I'll talk about that in just a second. But I'm mainly, quote unquote, back and ready to talk and play with you around various topics, because I believe it's time for me. So this is me talking to me, time to be transparent. At this quote unquote stage of my life, I'm not saying I'm old. I'm just saying it's a stage of life. I'm not 20. So at this particular stage of my life, I kind of got tired of bullshitting myself. Mm. And I discovered that I was really, really good at it. Like, I was really good at it. Thinking, feeling, staying at a certain level of consciousness that kept me distant from myself, from my higher self, distant from my friends like you, my dear friend, other friends of mine. And yet there was something inside of me that said, you just need to cocoon right in. You need to cocoon right in and tell everybody else to get lost. stay away from me in kindness, of course, in a kind fashion, but I sincerely needed to spend some solid alone Beth time, but it was different than other periods in my life where I've done that. I feel like I'm going to blow my own horn here, Waska, but I think,
go for it.
I think I'm wiser. I'm feeling wiser. I'm feeling more grounded. I'm feeling like I can look back on all the years of my life, particularly my spiritual life when I discovered to be more spiritual. Damn it, there's a lot to share in there, and that's why I'm back.
Yay.
Because I could have kept that all to myself as part of my personal journey, part of my professional journey. But I don't know. There's some spirit guide came to me, especially my spirit guide, whose name is Sophie, and said this shit needs to be shared. That's kind of the way she put it to me. And I thought, okay, I don't wanna. I sat around for another 2 or 3 weeks going, I don't want to do that. I'm okay by myself. I'm okay with my immediate family. I'm okay with my good friend. I don't need to share any of this with anybody. This is my personal journey. So I kind of dug my heels in a little bit. And boy, oh boy, when the guide, when the universe doesn't have it, it won't have it. So people like you kept coming back and back and back. And our dear friend, our mutual friend, Simran, and she and I are talking. No one's pushing me. No one can make me do anything I don't want to do. But it dawned on me that these people want to like connect with me. I want to connect with them. That's the easy part. But why would they want to connect with me? Like, why? I'm like, what do I have to offer? And again, it's not like a low self-esteem thing. I think you could probably tell that that's kind of intact, but it was more like, well, who gives a care about Beth Porojic's spiritual journey? Well, till one day when one of my spirit guides said to me, oh, you got a lot to share. They had me get up. I'm in my home office right now. So to the left is my file cabinet, and in that file cabinet are sheets of paper of all the psychic intuitive sessions I've done with people over the years. So we're talking, my best guess is 35 years worth of readings. And I do a chart like a doctor would do a chart. Every time I do a reading on someone, I write things on this chart. So I'm looking at, they guided me over to the file cabinet. I pulled out a year's worth of, I don't know, 2017 or something like that, a year's worth of these charts. And I just started to randomly open this file, and someone's chart would be there, a client of mine. And I would read what they were there to talk about, their concerns. I would read what I was guided to write on these charts. And then I would read the information that I gave to the client as a result of the intuitive reading and some suggestions. And, you know, the whole deal is to help people heal, live a better life. Like, I'm here to help and serve, right? Well, didn't I start to bawl like a baby? I was bawling like a baby, reading these charts, thinking this is amazing work. I'm not all that. I don't mean it like that, but the work of the spirit guides and the universe and God or whatever you want to call that universal energy working through me to serve and help these people is freaking amazing. It's amazing. And that's what made me think, I need to share this stuff.
Yeah.
Not because I'm all that. So that took the edge off of me from an egotistical standpoint, if there was one. I don't believe there is, but it had to be in the form of serving. How can I help? How can I serve others? Yeah. And I didn't, in that time of cocooning, I didn't do any readings. I told people I wasn't feeling entirely well. I just needed a bit of a break. I spent a ton of time at our cottage, which is amazing. But now I think, I don't even think, I know intuitively that it's time for me to get back on that wagon and share. There's a lot of information to be shared that may be helpful. And that's all I've got, really, Waska, is to say to myself, I'm going to be out there. I'm going to be transparent with it. I'm going to be real about it. You're going to hear some stuff about Beth that I probably promised myself I would never share, but I'm okay. I'm okay doing that. If we reach one person and it helps them in any way, shape, or form, then the universe celebrates that with me. So how's that for a little concise little story?
I like it. Yeah. No, there's a lot of wisdom in there. And that's why I kept reaching out to you, obviously, just first as a friend, just to make sure you were okay. But also, I think the last message I sent to you, thinking that this could possibly be a helping and a healing experience for you, as well as sharing with the audience, because I know from sitting in circle with the guys over a few decades that it doesn't matter what's being said. As long as we're sitting there, we're holding space for each other, we all relate to similar, if not the same exact situations and experiences. So whatever you're going through, I'm sure I could relate to, even difference in genders, whatever. But your sisters or other listeners can empathize and get whatever it is that they possibly need from it. And like you said, if it helps one person, I mean, that's all we're really doing this for, just to put it out there and put out the good vibes and the good energy and spread the love. And that's all we could ask for. So I love the fact that you cocooned in there. And I mean, you know, we're not quite in winter time yet, but that's really what this season is anyway. And the season could be whatever we feel we need to embrace in that time. So going inward to recharge and renew, which it sounds like you did, and to have those insights is a beautiful thing. And then you come back out, you bust out of the chrysalis and you spread those beautiful wings that are stronger for the work. And then you could share all the goodness with everybody else. And I just want to share with the audience that before we started recording, you had shared with me that there's two hawks outside the window. And I think we didn't even get into it, but that's the hawk has been, Redtail Hawk's been one of my longtime animal allies. And I think you were feeling the same thing. It's just an affirmation and a message from spirit. Hey, this is what needs to be done right now. So welcome home, Beth.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And I'm sending blessings to these beautiful hawks too, because there is two of them. And very often I see one at a time. Not very often that I see two. So that is a good sign for you and I, my friend.
Yeah, it represents community and the duality and a lot of beautiful things that support what you're saying here.
Well, thank you. Thank you for all your support through all of it. I knew that even though I wasn't reaching out and speaking to very many people, I felt loved. I felt supported. So I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, that's a beautiful thing, and also a good support for everybody else, that it's okay to go within. It's okay to, you know, cocoon, as you said, and if we have to shut people out, to just whatever we need to do to rejuvenate our own spirit, because how can we be in service to anybody else if we're not feeling, you know, whole, healed, and in a good way for ourselves? So that's a beautiful thing that you did. And so what would you like to share? Any other insights that came to you throughout your journey of, you know, looking within and going to that place of rejuvenation?
Yeah, I do. And then I have a couple questions for you too. But I realized how frequently or how easily, probably better way to put it, most frequently and easily, I could spiritually bypass anything. Like if there was a trophy, if there was an Emmy award for spiritual bypass, I would have won many, many, many times. And yet I realized also that I would, when doing readings to clients, I would speak to them about that. I would speak to them about the fact that you cannot, this would be like me talking to a client, you cannot bypass the human experience. Your spirit in human form, and because you asked for it, you asked to come down on planet Earth this time around in spirit, in human form, you have to take the good, the bad, and the ugly that comes with that. And so wanting to come to see me as an intuitive, and you feel like your life is kind of crappy, you think I'm going to let you go from having this crappy life right up to bliss. You got to see that in between. You got to walk that. I would say that to hundreds, thousands of people, and thinking that I was doing the same thing. I have a small little glitchy problem here. It's not a problem. It's my little white dog who's decided to join us. So give me a second. I'm sorry to our listeners, but you're going to hear me give her a little dog bone. She needs a little dog bone. There you go.
Well, I'll just say, like when we do ceremony, we call on the four directions, and a lot of different cultures do this. So we'll call in the east, the south, you know, the west, and the north, and you know that we honor Mother Earth, but we always include the animal allies also. So it's really it's beautiful that little four-legged poochie there is raising the elevation and
raising the elevation
energy.
I seriously consider her my spiritual service dog. Like she's my therapy dog. There's no doubt about it.
We'll be right back after this.
Do you sometimes feel down, lost, or lonely? Are your finances feeling sluggish? Can your relationships use a healthy tune-up? Don't fear, bro. Help is here. Experience the benefits of connecting with other men who are going through similar challenges. Be supported in our safe, sacred, and inspiring monthly telecircle with the Brotherhood of the Illuminated Warriors. Connect with Waska for one-on-one mentoring with the first session completely free. What have you got to lose? Check out illuminatedwarrior.com or send an email to waska@illuminatedwarrior.com. You're invited to step up your game and join us. You'll be glad you did.
So we'll go back to the original story, the spiritual bypass aspect of things. And I really had convinced myself quite nicely and effectively that I was living a very spiritually grounded life and accepting all my humanity, all things human that come my way, and that I had all my shit together, and that's why I'm really, really good at what I do. That would have been it in a nutshell 5 years ago, I'd even say. And I've learned that practicing, it did take some practice, practicing though to squish that humanity, because no, Beth's going to stay up here in spirit land. She's going to stay up here in spirit land. She's not going down to human land, because that's not what Beth does. Now, back in the day, I would get a lot of accolades for that. So there was ego at play. There's no doubt about it, that people would say, look at her. She's got all her shit together, and she's intuitive, and she's got a great husband and a lovely family and lovely lifestyle, and all that's true. All of that's true. But I hung on to that, when in fact, underneath here, my humanness, my spirit wanted to live the human experience. And yes, get angry. And yes, get fearful. And yes, get jealous. And all things, all emotions. And yes, be happy. And yes, be joyful. But understanding that that's part of the spiritual experience. So I think that was the biggest aha that I got in my cocooning this time around, is that you are in its entirety a spiritual being in a human body, and you are entitled to experience all of it. So if jealousy comes up, you're entitled to experience jealousy. What you do with that jealousy is that's when you put your spiritual hat on. You don't hurt anyone. I've never aimed to hurt anyone. But to experience the jealousy. And I used to think, well, you can't be doing that. You can't be experiencing jealousy, Beth, because that's bad, right?
That's what we were taught.
That's what we were taught. And I was raised Roman Catholic. We've talked about that before. So that has its own, and that, with all due respect to Roman Catholics, my experience of being raised Roman Catholic, that was a bad thing. So you'd have to confess that as a sin. So for me to sit in spirit and say, I'm going to accept the fact that there is an emotion called jealousy, and I'm experiencing it right now. And now you get to decide, Beth, you and your spirit get to decide what you're going to do about it. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. So I felt a lot of weepy moments. I mentioned going out to the cottage. I went out a lot with just me and my dog, and cried a lot. And I journaled a lot. And I walked our property overlooks the lake. So I walked the beach a lot. And I just embraced myself. So this is like giving myself a great big huge hug, saying it is okay to be human. It is okay. And even to this day, I'm a little wobbly saying it to you. Like, this is
that's okay. It is okay.
I've decided I'm going to be transparent and share, and that's what it feels like for me. That's what it feels like. But I will say, and I will admit, I'm more excited than I'm not. Like, I'm more excited than I am fearful. So that's a good sign.
Yeah.
I'll just go out there and let people listen to me, see what they can glean from what you and I talk about, from you as well. You've got a lot to share, and we'll have some fun with it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's great that you're willing to be, as you're saying, transparent, because so many times that we do stuff those emotions down, and I think we all, you know, can relate to how that feels. I mean, it's not a good feeling. It usually makes us unhealthy, and it affects our well-being. And just like you, I had a lot of anger, pent-up anger growing up, because I was very introverted, and I just kept stuff in, you know, for year after decade after decade. And then when I finally found my voice and felt good about myself, and those unworthy feelings that I lived with, and the shyness just kind of started dissolving away, I started speaking my truth. And just like you said, my intention was never to hurt anybody. So I always add the caveat, speak my truth with compassion. Doesn't mean that people still wanted to hear it or liked it. but it's so much healthier, I believe, for everyone. Myself, of course, just to get it out and not suppress those feelings and emotions. But also for somebody to hear the truth, whether they accept it, agree with it, like it or not. speaking the truth with compassion, I do believe is very serving for everybody. Because when you don't do that and you suppress things and you hold on to past issues, I mean, you probably heard me say this before, emotions buried alive never die. So eventually, the anger, the resentment, the guilt, the blame, shame, it's going to come up. So why not put it out there, free yourself of it, and let the other do whatever it is that they're going to do with it and give them the opportunity to process that and hopefully grow from that as well. So I think what you've done is a beautiful thing. First, serving your own needs so you could get back out there and serve the needs of others. And it's a beautiful thing. Yeah,
I agree. And part of that process for me included viewing me speaking my truth. I'm going to reverse that. In not speaking my truth, I wasn't helping that other person. Where was the growth in that other person when I was feeling angry and didn't express it appropriately? Always appropriately, but with compassion. I love that you put it that way. That's a great way. Going forward, that's the way I'm going to look at it too.
Well, I want to ask you something. Sorry, I don't mean to interject, but my short-term memory loss, because I'm not 20 anymore either. So do you feel like when you don't walk your talk, as the saying goes, which is what you're doing now, and maybe that is why you drew back that, I will speak for myself. Like the work that I do, you know, the work that I do with the guys and all, like sometimes I do take a step back because I feel like, I'm like, hey, Waska, you're being a phony, man. You're not walking your talk here. You're sharing with these guys, hey, this would be helpful for you, and this is the way I live, and my experience is what I'm sharing. But then sometimes I feel like, okay, I'm not walking that right now. So I pull back and I just regroup because I don't feel like I could be in service. And I can be that voice and be present for somebody because I don't feel like I'm walking it. And until I do exactly what you do. Sometimes I just go within, I close off the world, stop the world, as the saying goes, until I feel like, okay, you know, Waska's back. I'm not, you know, Perry Finkelstein, the little boy who was shy and not spiritual and not awakened. And then until Waska comes back in, you know, I don't go back out. So does that resonate with you as well?
100%, 100%, and the what can be the tricky part of it is to kind of call yourself on your stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's so easy. It's so bloody easy in the world that we live in to just say, "Not really. I'm just going to throw this little lie in there because no one's going to notice this little lie." And it's so bloody easy. So that's, I think, where a lot of the spiritual rubber hits the road is to call yourself on it. There you go, doing that again, Beth. Just be aware that you're doing that again. And is that authentic? Does that align with what's going on inside of you? No, it doesn't. Oh, well, you can still choose to do it, but you're going to know that it's not in alignment. And then you go, oh, crap. That's not good.
But that's what makes you such a good coach. You're willing to look at those things and own it and then work with it and, you know, change it to what it needs to be to help yourself and then be again in service to others. So that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for you, Waska. When you talk about your journey from being the shy little boy, do you recall, and you may have shared this in other episodes, so I apologize, but there's probably going to be somebody new who needs to hear the story again. At what agey, stagey were you where you started to think, this is not the way I want to be with my life? Okay, I look quiet.
Do you recall?
Yes,
my whole adolescence, I was just paralyzed. You know, I really was. I mean, and I do attribute it to growing up in an alcoholic family because that was my role. You know, my sister was very outgoing. She, you know, was 2 years older. She started, you know, partying earlier and getting out of the house and just, she found her escape away from, you know, the effects of that, you know, alcoholic diseased family, you know, and they call it a family disease because it affects everybody in the family.
Of course.
My role was I stayed home. I tried to comfort my mom as best I could. And I just shut up, you know? So through high school, I kind of started coming out of my shell, like when I was around my friends, it would be different. Obviously, I felt comfortable. I felt more at home with them. But like in public, I still was very, very shy. And going away to college, I think I utilized drugs and alcohol to feel like I could bust out of my shell a little bit.
Oh,
because it was the alter ego. Okay. Well, you know, it's not me anymore. It's this other dude who's Party Perry. My friends used to call me Party Perry, you know. But the truth was, you know, I was still feeling all those feelings inside. I really wasn't getting it out in a healthy way. I was just partying, you know, which it's, you know, that's avoidance. And it had its own dysfunctional behavior. And I had to prove to myself that I wasn't an alcoholic, because they say it's hereditary and all my, you know, in college we were all drinking. So I put myself on a drinking hiatus, and it was interesting how my friends really didn't relate to me as well, because everybody's drinking and like, hey, how come you're not drinking? Well, I don't want to drink because I just want to make, yeah, come on, drink. I don't want to drink, you know? So those experiences helped me eventually find my voice. And a big part of it was not being so self-conscious about what other people think about me or say about me, or it's that's their stuff. So eventually I forced myself to like take a public speaking course in college and to get out there and play my guitar in front of people, which I would never do. You know, so those little experiences, like jumping off the cliff, so to speak, helped me to move one step at a time to getting out of that introverted self. And I just kept pushing myself and pushing myself to do things that were very uncomfortable.
Wow.
They say that the only thing to fear is fear itself. And once you confront those fears, the death of fear is certain. So that's what I did. I just kept pushing myself to do things. Like I was in Jamaica, and I have a fear of heights. So I jumped off this 67-foot cliff, like petrified. And I remember it seemed like forever, but it was like something I would never do. But I started facing my fears and just pushing myself to, you know, get past those self-limiting beliefs. And, you know, slowly but surely, you know, now I'm doing this. You know, I would never get in front of the camera. That's why I've been behind the camera for 40 years. I don't want anybody to see me. And it's interesting because I'm redoing like the Pro Video website and all. It's like, I don't have a lot of pictures of me. Like my friends are always like with the camera and behind this, you know, scene. I just took pictures of the productions, you know.
Oh, okay.
I post pictures of you in the production. I'm like, I'm having, you know, trouble finding a lot of, over 40 years, I've really only got a handful of pictures with me in the productions, because I didn't want to be in the camera, you know. So anyway, that's, you know, that's kind of a bit of the evolution of coming out of the shell.
That's brilliant, Wafka. And you know what? So what comes to mind as you're telling that story, I feel so open-hearted listening to it, so brave and so courageous and so vulnerable, right? Yeah, that's tough slugging for a lot of people, which is probably why a lot of people don't go on the spiritual journey, because that bravery, that courageous activity makes you have to be vulnerable. But I'm curious, to now that you take the public speaking course and you start to, you know, you jump off cliffs, which I think is insane. Please be safe when you do that. That's insane.
Not anymore. Been there, done that.
Okay. But did you sense like a sense of momentum as you did that? Like it was almost like, that was pretty cool. I overcame that fear. Well, that was pretty cool. Now look at me doing this pretty cool thing. Did it kind of gain momentum, or did they kind of stay? Public speaking was one thing. Jumping off a cliff was another thing. How did that like transgress into something else? That's my question.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that question. The motivating factors started coming along in my life, like the birth of my first son, Jonah. I was still doing some things that weren't the healthiest, you know, the partying. And I just remember one experience that I was actually hungover. Okay. And I was watching Jonah that day. He was still a toddler. And I felt so ashamed of myself, because I'm like, wow, you know, you went out partying the night before. I'm a huge Who fan, you know, Pete Townsend and the Who. So
me too. Awesome.
They were doing Quadrophenia at Madison Square Garden. I bought Seven Nights and the Sixth Night. You know, it's this, the part of the story is Dr. Jimmy and Mr. Jim. I only go out when I drink my gin. Well, who drinks gin? I don't like gin. Well, I drank gin. I got really sick and hungover. And the next day I'm like, oh my God, dude. I mean, I just grow up already. It's, you know, enjoy the music, but like, you know, you're taking care of your son today. And I made a deal with him. He was always very mellow anyway. I'm like, just, you know, make it an easy day for pops here. We'll put you in the backpack. We'll walk around town. And that's it for me. I'm not doing this anymore as far as the drinking. And
wow.
So I really saw that I needed to elevate my spiritual life and not party in that way anymore. I could party in other ways as far as just being present with my son, which was the greatest miracle of my life at that time. So that helped me really to move forward in my spiritual growth also. And, you know, obviously, well, not obviously, but I was married at the time. And, you know, that was new, having a relationship with somebody full time, marriage commitment. And I was like, okay, this isn't exactly good for the marriage either. So those were two big motivating factors for me to really just step up my game a bit, you know, looking at it like this is a commitment that I made. It's really important to me. And, you know, I can't keep doing the same things I'm doing and expect to have a beautiful, happy, abundant life.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm taking it, but you correct me if I'm wrong, that your wife was not a partier then. You weren't partying together she was in the play too.
She was not a partier. She had her own, you know, challenges to deal with at the time, you know.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother story, which got me into the healing arts because she had some mental health issues, which became evident, you know, not that long after we were married. And that was another catalyst for me. I'm like, okay, she's got, you know, these issues. How do I help her? Which it took quite a long time to realize that I really, the only way I could help her is just to be present. So learning, you know, Tai Chi and Qigong and Reiki and therapeutic touch, all the things I thought were going to help to heal her ultimately helped to heal me. But you can't heal somebody who doesn't want the help to just even go down that path. So
100%. Yeah. Well, this is a good indication of some really great spiritually grounded parenting too, is that you give your children opportunities and you support them with love, but in the end they have to have that free will and choice to decide the route of their own life. It drives me absolutely insane when I see people, especially my generation, who have kids, my kids are relatively the same age as yours, who insist that they become a veterinarian because dad's a veterinarian, or insist you become an accountant because mom was an accountant. I'm like, oh my God, don't say that to me. That blows my mind. It blows my mind. Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Do you think that's part like ego, which, you know, the ego, everybody says, well, not everybody, but you hear a lot of times the ego is a bad thing. Ego is necessary and it wants us to be healthy and succeed and all that thing. All those types of things, not necessarily in the best way serving us. But do you think it's, I don't want to say narcissistic, but in a way, we want our kids to be really healthy and wealthy and all that kind of stuff. So it's like, yeah, be a doctor, be a this, be a that. But is that really kind of part of our dream for them, even though a lot of times it's not their dream for them, you know?
100%. In fact, I often say that those people use their children as their own report card. Mm-hmm. And I won't have any of that for myself, but that's not the way I parent. My husband and I choose to parent. But it keeps them from looking at areas of their life that could probably be more self-fulfilling. Because I'm going to focus on Johnny here, who's going to be the accountant. And then I get to walk around planet Earth saying, Johnny's an accountant, and Johnny's the accountant, and Johnny's the accountant. And I want to just blow my head off. Like, that's insane. But it's just super, super common, unfortunately. And it is, I would say, it ticks many of the boxes of a stereotypical narcissist.
Mm.
And it's going to take, I hate to say this, but it's just so true. It's just going to take a lot of funerals for that kind of stuff to work its way out of our society. So I guess people like you and I step in and parent the way we step in. I'm going to say more wholeheartedly, although I believe all parents love their children in different degrees, but we open it more wholeheartedly because we honor the spirit in our children.
We'll be right back after this.
Hey guys, this is Waska. Listen, if you're hearing my voice, there are no coincidences. Are you ready to get unblocked and take the next step forward, whether it's with relationship issues, finances, or just moving into the next phase to elevate yourself? Listen, bros, this is what I do. I'm here for you. Drop me an email at Waska, that's W-A-S-K-A, at illuminatedwarrior.com. We will work on this together and take you to the next step. I promise you'll be glad you did.
Yeah. My children are not my report card. I'm my report card. And that sucks enough as it is. Like sometimes, right? Sometimes. But no, I refuse to let my children be my report card. And I never lead a conversation when someone says, how are the children doing? How are your kids doing? I never lead them with what they're doing for a living. Ever.
Yeah.
Ever. And sometimes when my children have had some struggles, deciding career choices, school choices, depression, breaking up with the boyfriend and all that kind of stuff, I tell them that too. Why am I sitting here pretending that my child's not struggling to decide where to go to school or whether they should go to school? Like, they kind of stare at you like, really? You're going to open up and say something potentially negative about your child? I don't think that's negative, though.
It's not.
Right? I think that's helpful to other parents.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the truth. Exactly.
I love that. I think it's really helpful because a lot of people are not willing to share those intimate details of their life or with their kids and all. And when we could actually empathize that, hey, this person's going through something similar that I'm going through, then you could have a conversation and support each other. But to keep it like buried inside and like, oh no, my kids are great. They're the best. They're straight A students. You know, they're not on drugs. They're not this. Well, that's not serving your kids. It's not serving you. It's not serving the person that you're communicating with that may actually be able to benefit from hearing the real story, and also maybe you could benefit from hearing their story. So I think it's always, as Crazy Horse says, the truth is bulletproof.
Exactly. And that, I think that's part of the goal, quote unquote goal, part of my dream is to live my life as authentically from that place of truth as possible. And I have to keep saying to myself, as possible, because Beth, remember, you're still a human being, so it's not going to be possible, like ad nauseum. It's as best as I possibly can, with the grace of God, with my own personal conviction to my spiritual work, I'm doing the best that I can. I know it. Right. Whereas let's pretend either you or I weren't healthy. We're healthy, but we weren't, and we knew we were not eating healthily or drinking healthily or not exercising, et cetera, et cetera. And you like poo-poo that, the fact that you should be taking care of yourself from a humanistic standpoint, from your body, by just blaming the fact, the big blame game. I blame the fact that I came from an alcoholic home, to your example, right? It's super sad that you came from an alcoholic home. Super sad, but look what the hell you did with it.
Exactly.
Look what the hell you did with it. Like, wow.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of going six ways to Sunday on this, but I got a lot of different thoughts floating around in my head at the same time.
Yeah, it's a great point.
I just admire your work and the perseverance, again, the bravery, the courage, the vulnerability to do that. And now to be in front of a camera. Look at you. You look great on the camera.
Well, I appreciate that. And same for you. But I think what you're saying really is, it is important, you know, to put it out there for other people and the perseverance and the truth, you know, to live and walk our truth. And it's not easy. It's not always easy to do that. So the only people that we really have to kowtow to is ourselves, you know, because at the end of the day, that's really, you know, all that matters, you know, because life is so busy. Everybody goes about their own business. And, you know, whether they're sitting and watching or listening to this podcast or they're working or they're with their kids, we're all wrapped up in our own stuff. So I do believe, like, just like you, like part of my mission is to be of service as best as I can, you know, and mm-hmm. that hopefully will be somewhat of my legacy. And then my kids see that and they learn from that and all. And that's, you know, you were saying giving me kudos, which I appreciate, you know, getting out of that alcoholic mindset. Well, you know what? I was angry for a very long time. I didn't understand why my dad drank every day or treated my mom the way he did. When I gained my own awareness, I realized, you know what? This is the path that he chose and it's not my path. He's loving me the best he can love me. We came to a good place, you know, years before he actually passed. And I do give gratitude to him. He just, I don't want to say celebrated, but I celebrated his passing of 6 years ago, a few days ago. And I would not be, just like you said, I wouldn't be doing the work. I wouldn't be the person I am if it wasn't for who he was. So I am grateful for all the lessons that I learned living in that family, growing up with my dad drinking every day. You know, was it fun? Was it, you know, great? No, it wasn't. But you know what? I get to do what I'm doing now and hopefully helping other people because of that. And that's a choice.
Right. It is a choice. And you don't have to make the I came from an alcoholic family, even though it's true, it doesn't have to be your story. It
doesn't
have to be, you know, it doesn't define you. It's not the thing that you get to backtrack to when things go kind of shitty in your life. But no, that's not the thing. When things don't go well in my life, that's my responsibility, right?
Absolutely. Well, that's how we break the chain of the multidimensional dysfunction also. Multigenerational dysfunction is to break the chains of that. Like, I don't sit around, oh, I grew up in an alcoholic family, and this is why I am the way I am, and making excuses. No. I'm grateful for my dad, who he was, what I learned from it, and, you know, hopefully, you know, my kids have learned, seeing the way I live, that it's okay. You know, and they could move in a totally different direction without those chains from the past. You know, they say the sins of the father. Well, the sins of the father only exist if we allow them, you know, to shackle us, and we really don't have to. You know,
were you open and transparent with your children, with your boys, at a certain age? You know, not when they're little about the dysfunctional family that you were raised in. Were they aware that their grandpa?
I mean, there was never any hiding it. I mean, his name was Norman, so he was called Storm and Norman. My friends would go over and party with him. I mean, everybody loved my dad. He was a functional alcoholic. He was fun. He was, you know, and I think about that also. I don't know if when I was growing up, maybe I followed his path a little bit, because Hardy Perry, Storm and Norman, you know, I mean, I think subconsciously, maybe I did. I don't know. You know, he had the mustache and goatee, then he shaved it off. So I do that. I don't know. There's certain things. You know, I like to think I got some positive attributes of him as well, you know. But my boys, my guys have, you know, been very, I think, aware and as present as they could be growing up through all the trials and tribulations.
Brilliant.
And as much as I consciously said, okay, I'm not going to do these things because I don't want them to have the same negative influences that I had, I'm sure that they would say, well, you know, Pops, you did this or did that. You know, we do the best we can, and that's life. Like you said, we're human beings. We do the best we can. That's what I always told my kids. Do the best you can. That's all anybody could expect from you. So I'm just doing the best I can, this humble, you know, faulted human being, you know?
Yeah, well done. I think that's the main topic of this discussion, right? We're faulty. We're human, for sure.
It's okay, though.
It is okay. It is very okay with me now. It wasn't 5 years ago. It's very okay with me now. You made me tweak something else in my mind about breaking some of these multi-generational patterns that have not served generations before us, is the secrecy thing. And that's why I asked you if you were transparent and open with your boys around their grandpa. I don't know if they call them grandpa, but whatever, the grandpa.
Grandpa Mimi, they call them Grandpa Mimi.
Okay, there we go. And not to place that in a secret vault. Like, we don't talk about grandpa, he drank too much. We don't talk about this because, oh my gosh, right? There's so much of that as well. We just don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Why are we not talking about it? Why are we not, these questions not coming out of our mouth in a safe place, in a compassionate way, in a safe environment? But it just, amazes me, so many childhood memories that I'm, because I had the cocooning for a while, it gave me time to reflect more on my childhood, the good, the bad, and the ugly again of my childhood. But so many secrets, we just don't talk about that. And sometimes no one even said it. You just knew it. You just knew. We do not talk about Uncle Norm. We don't talk about him. Why? We just don't. Oh, wow. And you're 6 and 7 and 8, and you know that there's something up in the family, and no one's going to sit down and try to explain it to you, right? We're not doing that. You and I aren't doing that with our children, and that's a good thing.
But that's how you continue on, though. That's how it was ingrained in you, especially at that age, and that's what you learn. So unless you become aware and mindful that, hey, this is not going to work for me or my offspring, I have to do something to change it. Because, you know, just like you're saying, I grew up with, we don't talk about any of this stuff. You know, we don't talk about mental health issues. We don't talk about alcoholism. We don't talk about abuse. We don't talk about any of it. We just live our lives. So my strategy for survival was to be quiet. I had to be very clever because I was shy, introverted, and, you know, pretty much frozen with any kind of confrontation. So I had to get out of being bullied a lot of times by using my brain to be like, oh, well, you're this, you're cool, man. Don't beat me up. You know, I mean, I had to use my intellect because I wasn't a big guy or a strong guy. I mean, I didn't even take martial arts until I was much older and made sure my guys learned that, just because I didn't want them to go through things that I went through. So, you know,
clever. Yeah. That's super, super clever. It reminds me too, it would test my memory beyond to remember when I first came across a book by a gentleman by the name of John Bradshaw. I probably was in my 20s. That's when I really started to get a little more serious on looking at my family and my upbringing and how it wasn't serving me, etc. I think it was in my 20s. Anyway, you can look, anybody wants to, they can look up John Bradshaw. And he was one of the pioneers. A lot has changed since then, but he was one of the pioneers that wrote about dysfunctional family, this word, dysfunctional family.
And it's redundant, isn't it? Dysfunctional and family. It's redundant.
Same thing, exactly. Yeah. That's the way we would look at it now, right? But back in the day, I had my own spiritual mentor, and she recommended that I get this book and I read it. And I was afraid to read it. Like, I don't want to look at anything dysfunctional. I'm just going to move from this point forward. I'm not going to be looking back on everything that happened to me up until this point. I just go put that in a little package, put it in the safe, and I'm never going to look at it. Well, obviously impossible. So I read this book, and every chapter was a different kind of box that you could tick on whether you were a dysfunctional family. There are 10 chapters, 9 out of the 10 were my family. 9 out of 10.
That's how they get you.
And I still to this day have that original copy. It's all highlighted, and I've got my scribbles everywhere and my post-it notes in it and everything. That's kind of the way I read and digest books. And every 10 years I've bought it again. And even though some of the material is antiquated now, we've learned a lot more, I still find value in it. I still find the spots that I can highlight, and I take that into my heart now. Like my folks did what they did, and under the circumstances that they did it, I can see the love and light of God in them, but I don't have to like the choices they made. That's it. I don't like the choices, some of the choices they made, but they got the light and love of God in them as good as anybody else. And that helps. That really, really helps.
Yeah.
How did your mother get through a lot of this kind of stuff, Wasco? What was your memories of your mom?
Oh, she got,
if you don't mind sharing.
Yeah. She's 86 now. So she got old and a little dementia. I think that's helped her get through it. I look back at my mom's life, and our relationship is better now than it's ever been before. Not really even joking around. It's because she got older and she's let a lot of stuff go. She doesn't have the wherewithal to fight anymore because she's a true Gemini in every sense of the word. She's super, super wonderful on one hand and loving, and everybody loves her. The other hand, when you were in the family, it was a whole different story, you know. And I don't want to say she wasn't a good mom. She was. But I think part of being with my dad and that alcoholic relationship definitely had a huge, profound effect on her. Also, things that I don't really even like to talk about. I know the reason that she married my mom wasn't for love. My dad wasn't for love. So I've learned from those things. So she got through the best that she could, given the circumstances, and did things that I don't approve of to this day, but it's not for me. That's another thing I had to forgive, where she went after they got divorced. So I think she just was in a survival mode. And, you know, I look at those things now because, again, she's 86 plus now. I don't know how long she's going to be alive.
Sure.
So I'm embracing whatever time I have with her. And I let all that dysfunctional stuff go that was the constant, you know, head bashing with each other that I just had I had to have some resolve. I had to have my word in here. You know, I gave that up years ago. And my God, how things changed. You know, when I just decided, like, okay, just acceptance, forgiveness, love. That's it. I'm not going backwards anymore. And even if my mom would do that, I would just be like, it's all good, Mom. It's all good. I love you. What can I do to, you know, make your life better? And once I started doing that, my goodness, all the things that I was pointing my fingers at about her, they all dissolved away because they weren't important anymore, you know?
Right. So that was part of your, I'm assuming that was part of your forgiveness process, or one of the gleaning benefits of the forgiveness process. You know, I just made note here, you probably saw my face go away from the camera. I think we do really well, Waska, to do an entire show on forgiveness, such a big, important, there's so many aspects, so many tentacles to forgiveness. I think we could probably do two shows on forgiveness, to be honest.
Write it down also, yeah.
Yeah, a show topic. And another one, for us as well is around friendships. I think we've touched a little bit during this particular chat around who we spend time with, who we don't spend time with. I'm thinking about the story of my friends who like to use their children as report cards. And some of them I've had to cease having relationships with because it hurts my soul to sit and have lunch with these women who are just, you know, pounding their chest saying how great their children are. I'm like, okay, can we talk about something else? Can we talk about a book we're reading? Can we talk? And so I, you know what? And then I also, now this might sound cruel, and I for sure don't mean it to be cruel, but sometimes I'll get into my car after that and I look at my watch and I go, okay, there was an hour and a half of my life that I can't get back.
Yeah.
And I just spent it. I'm not going to say wasting it because it was my choice. I chose, but spent that time listening to something that gleaned me nothing. Again, don't go into every luncheon expecting that I'm going to come out all fulfilled or anything, but something, like just something. Can we talk about what you're going to do for Christmas? Something. Nope. So I've had to let some of those relationships go by the wayside, but I want to talk to you about that in our friendship show topic because
yes.
There's challenges around that right now. So when these friends text me now, we're coming up to the holiday season, as you know, let's get together for a drink. I'm like, I don't want to. I don't want to. Yeah. So how do I get myself out of that pickle, right? So let's talk about that in the friendship show.
We'll leave that for another show. Before we do run out of time, I want to kind of bring it back full circle, you know, from your experience. And I keep getting this niggling in the back of my head from my spirit guide, White Feather. He's like, ask her about Sophie. Ask her about, and you know, we keep talking. He's like, hello, the time's running out on the show here. Ask her about Sophie. So I want to ask you about Sophie, your spirit guide, and how that helped you through this transitional period of coming back out of your cocoon. Because spirit guide, as I'm sure you know, like just so such a blessing in life. So share a little bit about that.
Right. Thank you. My dear spirit guide, Sophie, you just talked about White Feathers talking through you through the back of your head there. Sophie only speaks to me through my right ear. So my right ear is very important to me. And when I don't want to hear her, I literally go like this. I'm like, no, I'm not listening. But she will always come through my right ear. And I have a great relationship with her, an awesome relationship with her. But she's badass. Like there is no stopping when she believes something should be different. She's relentless. She's like a little woodpecker that's until I pay attention. So she was lively. during this whole process. But eventually I had a really great heart to heart. It's so nice. I'm a little teary eyed sharing this with you, but I'm so happy you asked, because I felt really worn out. Like I was physically worn out. There weren't enough baths to be had. There weren't enough cups of tea to be had. There weren't enough walks out in nature or by the lake at my cottage, as I mentioned. I just felt so worn out. And I said to her in one meditation, I said, I'm going to have trouble getting up off this chair and moving. And I didn't mean it literally. That's how worn out I was. I was just so tired. My voice was low. It was really tired. And she came through and she said, you will never meet a more benevolent being than me. This is her talking to me. And so she had me grab a pencil and paper. And she said, just write these words. I am well supported by Sophie. Sophie is my benevolent. I didn't have my notes with me. Sophie is my benevolent warrior. That's what it was. And she, we upped the ante on our relationship by me telling her I was so bloody tired. And she kind of wrapping her loving arms around me, if she had them, and said, I am benevolent. I am here to help. We will get through this. Just rest. And she only came through to me days following that to suggest things that were going to help me boost my energy again. Things that she would make a suggestion. Okay, looks like the lake's going to get a little rocky later, so let's go for a walk now. She would just give me these gentle, no big shakes. Yeah. Like she wasn't hitting me over the head with the baseball bat. She was very gentle and very kind. And it really enhanced our relationship in a way that I'd never experienced with her before. So it was a game changer. So thank you for asking. And now I've got all kinds of great memories of that again.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, it's another great show topic for people who either have spirit guides or you know, tapping into that or want to tap into it. So, yeah, White Feather's happy.
Let's
now.
Do that. Let's do that.
He's happy.
I'm glad he's happy.
So, beautiful. So in closing, what else would you like to leave our listeners with? Any words of wisdom in closing about the experience and moving forward?
Sure. I would say, be unafraid. So I'm going back to that word bravery again. It's not because I'm all that in a bag of chips that I'm super brave, but to have the fortitude or the attitude of wanting to take care of all those little intricate aspects of yourself, be open. That's probably the better word. Be open with yourself. Be forthright with yourself. Call yourself on stuff when you know it bumps up against your values. That's another show we should have around spiritual values.
She's back.
There's just so many things to talk about. And it's easy for me to say, right? And of course, it's, you know, people would say easy for you to say, but I think when you and I, as you and I carry on with these conversations, we'll dig, we'll be able to help just little bit here, little bit there, be open-hearted. And it's okay to call yourself on your stuff. It's okay to say, jeepers, I am jealous right now. What the hell's going on with that? And leave it, even if that's all you do. Even if that's all you do. So just be open-hearted, kind to yourself. That's probably the way I'd like to leave it, if that's okay with you.
Unless you have some
pearls of wisdom, I'm sure to share too.
No, I'm down with that, being open-hearted and kind to ourselves. I think that's really important. Because a lot of times we are really hard on ourselves. So I will go with that as well. And this has been really wonderful. I look forward to continued shows. Yes, because this is this warms my heart and soul. And so many things are coming up for me also. So I'm containing them because we are out of time for today. But I'm looking forward to doing more shows. So you know, I want to wish you a happy and healthy holiday season, and along with
our
audience, and hopefully they've gotten some good bejewels out of this, just being present, being mindful, being authentic, being real, and sharing those beautiful things with their loved ones, you know, whether awesome. They're hard or not, you know, that's, it's important. So
I agree. I totally agree. Thank you so much, Waska, again, for your persistence. I'm so super grateful and appreciative that we've spent this time together. Yeah, brilliant.
For all the audience, you know, we I'll speak for both of us. We wish you a merry night.
Let's do that, Perry Finkelstein.
All right. I know, right? All right. Funny. Well,
that's good.
We will continue to illuminate our paths with loving kindness. Until next time.
Visit IlluminatedWarrior.com if you'd like to go deeper and find out more about what's available within the Illuminated Warrior Men's Transformational Community. Tune in next time for more candid conversations for men and women about men on the Way of the Illuminated Warrior Talk Show every Thursday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Until next time, illuminate your path with loving kindness.